Testing, 1, 2, 3. We are back. We are live. We are ready to go. It's been probably close to a month since we've added to the podcast list, but we are back. Life has thrown a lot of curveballs to myself and Ken. Ken has been drunk at Applebee's more than I can care to remember. He's not going to be joining us tonight, but I do have a special guest. The special guest is the one and only... We flirted this podcast before. My friend Kyle, a law enforcement officer out of Illinois. We may get into some deep, serious talk, but we may also just have some fun and shoot the shit. Kyle, please welcome yourself. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi. Grew up in Indiana. Met my wife in college. Met Chris in college at the same time. We all formed a group of friends. Since then, I moved to Illinois. Been with my wife ever since, and yeah.
All right, thanks for the starch and very uninteresting intro there, Kyle. We'll get you warmed up there. So, we're here up in northern Indiana. It's a very nice night tonight. Kind of chilly, but we got a fire going, so if you hear the crackling of the wood, that's what you got going on there. And we decided, you know what, even though Ken's not joining us, who knows what he's doing, you never know what he's going to be up to, we thought we're going to go ahead and podcast. There's so much to talk about. What has happened in the last month, basically, since we haven't been on air? I know you guys are dying to hear what's been going on. I know you've been I've been getting text message after text message. When's the next podcast coming out? Well, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back, at least for now. So, what is there in the news today? I mean, not much has really changed, right? I mean, nothing going on. I mean, people have so many jobs that they can't fill, yada, yada, yada. People can't go to the grocery store and get what they want because people aren't wanting to work. I can't get my shit like that. But here we go. So, I mean, for me, I'm going to start off. I saw, for people that are movie fans, we talk about movies every now and then. There's a new Halloween coming out. And for y'all that don't know, the whole Halloween timeline here. So the first original Halloween came back. I'm gonna go ahead and off the top of my head. I think it was about in 78. It's one of Jamie Lee Curtis's first movies. And after that became Halloween 2. And then basically a 4. Halloween 3 is not really one movie that's talked about because... there's no Michael Myers, there's no Jamie Lee Curtis. That's kind of like the stepchild of the Halloween franchise. Kyle's nodding his head, he agrees. And then came a 4 and 5, which involve, and 6, which involved Jamie Lee Curtis's alleged daughter. So, what, about 2 years ago, a new Halloween came out?
Well, which one was it that, was it Halloween 4, The Curse of Michael Myers, where, like, they're, like, it starts off, she's giving birth to the baby or something?
That's
like
6.
That. Was that 6?
That's 6.
Yeah, that's a good one.
that's a very violent movie.
Yeah, well, that one has, what's his name in it? The dude from, like, I Love You, Man, and everything else like that. What's it, with,
is that Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd's
in it. Yeah, Paul Rudd, yeah. Very good, yeah, Paul Rudd. And so, basically, 2 years ago, Jamie Lee Curtis, I guess she needed more money. And so, she had decided to make another Halloween movie. And it was okay. It was, you know, for what it was, I'm a Halloween fan. I like the movies. I was raised on them young. That's probably not a good thing. And if you knew me, you could tell all the jokes and everything I tell nowadays. It probably has something to do with it, or that seeing the movie It when I was 6 years old. But so you have the new movie coming out, and it changes the whole storyline because you also got to think about it. It basically, all the movies you've seen basically after the first one in this storyline, they don't exist, because after the second one, that doesn't happen. You know, again, the third one, no one really talks about. When 4, 5, and 6, that doesn't happen because that's not in this new storyline. You know, the Halloween H2O.
I was just about to bring that up too. Yeah, like
yeah, that doesn't exist because she doesn't have the son. You have to forgive me. Kyle's making me smoke this weekend. And then you have the Halloween Resurrection, which is just really bad with Busta Rhymes, and he's talking about chicken fried, motherfucker.
Busta Rhymes is good.
Oh yeah, okay. I mean, if you want to talk about that, I mean. You know, I mean, agree to disagree there.
It's not his fault that the script was poorly written around him.
I mean, okay. I mean, he did his part, I guess. I mean, hold on, beer break. Okay, I'm recharged. So, all right. So we have the new one coming out. So a trailer dropped. And for spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the first one, press pause or turn off your volume. At the end of the first one, she traps Michael in the basement of her house, sets it on fire, basically leading to the idea that he's going to burn alive in this house. And in the trailer gives a lot away. I feel like it gives a lot of graphic scenes. I
would agree to where like you're
yeah.
You're, the only like pivotal moment is going to be the climax scene at the end to see what actually really happens between the face-off between Jamie Lee and Michael Myers, you know?
I mean, there's a huge body count in the trailer alone. Like, it's like, if you count the firemen and everything else, it's like almost 10 people.
Right. I think in the trailer, they kind of spoiled, like, the opening scenes, like, the shock and all grabs you in the beginning of the movie, and they kind of ruined it with that beginning trailer, I would agree.
But I've already read that there's going to be another one coming out next year.
After this one?
It's going to be called Halloween Ends. Yeah. This one's going to be called Halloween Kills, coming out this October. And then Jamie's like, oh, I need more money. I'll do one more. So, what are people's thoughts on the horror movie franchise? I grew up on horror movies. I like Halloween. Jason Voorhees. The first Friday the 13th was really good. Either after that one, I thought it was really bad. Now, Freddy, I never really watched Freddy Krueger. I know I can't comment on Freddy Krueger. I think for me, with the Halloween series, I think the music and the mask, really, I think the music more than anything is what kind of sets it apart with the tension.
Good with it. Yeah,
the tension, the... just the anticipation. And Kyle, do you know where they got that mask from? The idea for the mask?
I do. I can't think of his name now. The guy from Star Trek.
William Shatner. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, the original Halloween mask is from based off the mold of William Shatner, for those who don't know. And I will protest that maybe the first and second Halloween are just, they're classic and they're probably the best, really, I think. I mean, if you're looking for a good horror movie, like, don't go in with your anticipation high or your feelings real high, because, you know, I mean, it's a horror movie. But anyway.
It's got the cheesy moments to it, but it's definitely, like you talk about, like, the music and the build up and, like, that whole, like, I don't know. Aura around it is what actually makes the movie. Like, you have to go into it in that mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I agree. Like, the score of it is, I mean, if you watch Friday the 13th, all it is, like the ups and the downs and the ebbs and the flows of it, it gets you, like, if you're watching that, it gets your heart, it gets your adrenaline pumping, it gets you going, it gets you...
Well, think about this, though. Like, I guess in my opinion, like, horror movies back in the 70s were able to grab you based upon those standards alone. And, like, horror movies nowadays, if you look at, like, I like Rob Zombie, I like what he's doing with horror movies, but at the same time, like, it's changed completely to where it's now about, like, what gets you is the gore. Like, those aspects of it is, like, in my opinion, what gets you in horror movies that are present tense. And you still had it with, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, the original ones had that gore to it, but it was done differently than how they're doing it now, in my opinion.
And I'm glad he brought that up, the Rob Zombie... Rob Zombie made two. Did he make one or two?
He made two.
Of the and I like those. From, he brought a more humanistic role to the beginning of Michael Myers, the kid that grew up in an abusive home, kind of like a crack whorish mom, you know, things like which, based on our field, you can see how, especially I spent 8 years in DCS, how trauma and everything else can affect children. But they, you know, with also when it comes to serial killers, that's the trait you're kind of born with. They called it the triad. If you you piss the bed, you light things on fire, and you mutilate animals. And they kind of hit on that in the movies, because in those Rob Zombie ones where you would kill kittens or something like that and everything else. They call it
your sister while she's naked.
Yeah, like stuff like that. Yeah, he kind of hit. It's what they call in our criminology class. It's a serial killer triad. It really was. Kids that were way too old to be pissing themselves in bed, they would do it, light things on fire, and kill animals. That was, because I can't remember, but people that studied serial killers, that was one thing they all had in common. But I forgot about the Rob Zombie movies. That's a good point. Those brought a more humanistic part. Is that a word? We're going to just be rambling things off. They're going to be worth denied. It doesn't matter. But, you know, so if you haven't watched them, you know, if you got a chance, check them out. I don't know if you can even rent movies anymore, how the hell you're going to watch them. Maybe order off Amazon for $5, but, you know, check them out.
Well, maybe you guys are going to sponsor. Yeah, you know, throw an Amazon
in there. Hey, speaking of sponsors, we have a sponsor. I can't believe I've gone this far without even saying anything. You know, since the election, things have been tight, really tight with firearms, ammunition, everything else. But there's one company that just has led the way. Since 1963, Grassy Knoll Munitions has been the leader of ammunition. And so I'm just so glad they're part of our podcast. You know, if you ever need that magic bullet, you go to Grassy Knoll's Munitions for all your needs. So please check them out. Grassy Knoll's Munition, since 1963, that magic bullet for all your needs. Thank you so much for putting your money behind the podcast. We really appreciate it. I'm glad you mentioned that, Kyle.
You know, my comment is just something that slaps you in the back of the
head. It is. It's just like you slap me in the back of the head. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, I'm just like, oh, yeah.
Where
you
did
know?
That come from?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. So I'm great. Thank you, Grassy Knolls. You know, get that magic bullet. It's all you need.
Was it a fucking bookstore tower? Or was
I
it,
mean, you know? From up or far, wherever you need, the bullet will hit. That's that's where it'll go. And so, as we digress, what the hell else is there to talk about? I mean, we just spent 10 minutes talking about a movie that most people probably won't care about. Well, I mean, I could talk about stuff from work, but I really can't. I mean, for all you know, I work in a correctional facility, and I'll just leave it at that. Things have been crazy recently. Maybe future podcasts, I hope I'll be able to discuss more things that are going on, but for right now I can't. It's going to be a cliffhanger there, but we'll eventually get there. Just stay with us. And one thing I know we wanted to bring Kyle on with this podcast was just kind of talk about policing in general, because over the last 2 years, I would say policing is really, or just police officers in general, have really kind of been kicked in the sack with the way they've been portrayed in the media and how everything's just been kind of going on. And he kind of works near a very large city, and I just kind of want to get his feelings on how long have you been a police officer, Kyle?
Almost 8 years.
Okay, so 8 years. Give me a rundown of how it started 8 years ago, how you felt policing was viewed where you work, and how it is now.
It's kind of been like night and day, really. I mean, when I first started about 8 years ago, society was just like, it was right like after like, you know, the whole 9/11, like, you know, support everyone and so on and so forth. It was like the tail end of that. And then pretty much like I got a probably good like 3-4 maybe 4 years out of it, to where like all of a sudden things just turned and went the opposite direction, to where people just like completely demised the police and hated the police, and you know, and then all of a sudden the, you know, 2020 hit and you had the whole George Floyd thing happen and so on and so forth. It just it's been a whirlwind as far as seeing both sides of the spectrum and being in it.
And you work you work in a community that's largely Polish, right?
There's a big Polish population where and, I work, yeah.
And you've mentioned that they, a certain part of that population absolutely despises cops. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, so much so when you go, like, you go to a call to their house or whatever, like, you're pretty much, they want to fight you right off the bat, or, like, they want to, like, just not have anything to do with you being there to help them out, even though they called you there initially. We also deal with a lot of Arabic populations and everything else. Like, that's the main two diversity groups aside from, like, white that we deal with or Caucasian.
Is the Arabic population as hostile towards law enforcement as the Polish population?
It's different. I mean, I would say people, like, that are mainly, like, in their 20s to 30s are more anti-police or not willing to, like, cooperate. People that are more so, like, older, like, mid-50s, 60s, they're more cooperative. They're more willing to, like, talk to us, work with us.
Now, when you do random traffic stops, regardless of kind of the, you've mentioned out the main populations that you deal with. Uh-huh. Do you deal with these smart ass punks who think they know the law when it comes to, oh, to roll my window down, or
Facebook lawyers?
Yeah, the Facebook lawyers. Sure. That, yeah, I mean, have you dealt with that a lot, and how do you, like, give us some examples if you can, and kind of talk about how that goes.
I haven't really dealt too much with people that are not, I'm not going to roll my window down for you. I've dealt with it maybe on one occasion. It doesn't really necessarily end too well for the person. Meaning that, like...
And what are Illinois' laws as regarding to a traffic stop? If you pull someone over for speeding, what can they do? What can they not do as regards to assisting in the transaction of this proceeding?
So basically, Illinois laws, if I pull you over and I have, you know, a legitimate reasonable suspicion to pull you over, I request your driver's license, proof of insurance from you. So Illinois law is that if I request your driver's license, in order for you to display it to me, you have to physically place it in my hands. So I don't know if that's different than Indiana law, but you can't just merely put it up against your window in your car. You have to actually place it into my hands. So failure to place it in my hand is an actual violation and part of the traffic stop.
Okay, so they have to hand you the license. They have to hand you the insurance.
The insurance isn't part of the actual law, just the license in and of itself. They have to actually place the license in my hands.
Okay, so if a guy says, here's my license, but they don't give you the insurance, so, like, what can you do then?
Well, if they don't give me the insurance, they have to give it to me in a reasonable amount of time, and I try to do my best to give it to them. Hey, listen, try and find it, honk your horn, wave your hand out the window if you got it. If they're just not going to give it to me, then, I mean, I'll use my discretion to be what it is. If I choose to write them a ticket most of the time, then I'll write them a ticket, and they have a mandatory appearance to court at that point in time.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I know that Indiana's concealed carry laws are much different than Illinois', and I've been pulled over, I don't know, twice maybe in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And both times I've gotten a written warning, just because the first thing I've done is when the cop comes up to me, I'm like, oh, hey, I get my license. I'm like, oh, just by the way, because in Indiana, you don't have to tell the cop that you have a firearm in the car.
Illinois is the same way now.
And I tell him automatically. I'm like, oh, just so you know, I have my firearm. It's here in the car. It's in this position. You know, here's my license. If you want anything else, you let me know what you want me to do, and then I'll go get, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And I feel like that's gotten me out of ticket at least twice in the last few years. I know you can't, like, do you feel like the more cooperative people are, they maybe opt to get a written warning?
I mean, just basically talking to people that I work with, I think the general perspective is that cops are a little bit more appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
If you acknowledge the fact that you have a gun in the car that you are carrying, I think that they respect that a little bit more. It eases the tension a little bit more to know that, you know, someone told you instead of you having to find out on your own. as far as whether that plays a role into whether they're going to give you a break or not, I can't really.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's situation by situation.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
And yeah, people's history that they look up and everything else, I get that.
Well, I do think, though, that, like, just being a cop in general, I think if you are going to be a gun owner and you are going to carry, I think that I understand, like, some people have the mindset, well, it's my constitutional right, I don't have to tell you shit. I get that, and you're absolutely right. But, I mean, I think if you are going to be a gun owner, just be a responsible gun owner and be like, you know, you're getting pulled over by a cop and just, you know.
Yeah, because
he's got a job to do or she's got a job to do. Hey, listen, and if you're legally carrying, what's the big deal to begin with in the first fucking place? You know what I'm saying? Hey, listen, I don't know if you can cuss on the podcast or not.
No, but speak freely, my friend.
But the aspect is like, hey, listen.
Oh, there's a kitten.
Where at?
Across over there at the fireplace. I wonder what's making all that noise.
Yeah, it's going to get eaten by a coyote in about 2 seconds.
Oh, that would be great.
She's got that white fur. It ain't going to be white too much longer.
But yeah, I you think about it. If you're, for people that are listening, if you're like, oh, well, I don't need to disclose that. But think about if you're someone in Kyle's shoes, or whoever, the hundreds of thousands of law enforcement officers you have, and you don't know this person, you're rolling up and you have no idea what they're going to do or who they are or what their temperament is that day. You know, just the fact to say, hey, here's my license, you know, just so you know, I have a firearm, and I think it goes a long way. And well, I'm not going to get into this part of white privilege bullshit, but I mean, there's I worked in DCS for many years, and I saw interactions with, and I did ride-alongs in a city because I need to do them in different cities for my college degree. And, like, I've seen cops with both races, and I've seen, and I'm not bringing you into this, I'm just telling you my own experience. I've seen cops treat white people just as shitty as black people or whatever, you know, and it's, I think there's a narrative pushed by the media on things like that, but we're not going to dive into that. That's just not something, we're here to have fun and not push stuff like that. But anyways, so what else is going on? I mean, what else has been going on in the last month that we can talk about? I mean, like Kyle said, we've known each other since we both went to college together. Back, we both started freshman year in 2004. Kyle didn't want to be my friend. Freshman year of college.
Story. This is a complete asinine.
This is, guys, I mean, you've listened to the podcast.
You probably got credibility listening to him, guys, thinking that he's got credibility. Guys, with you. This is some utter bullshit that he's
already spoken. Guys, this is the full story. I mean, freshman year, I was trying to befriend Kyle, and one of my favorite, I like Star Wars, and Kyle had, he had the three at that time, it was,
you're gonna base everything on a lie now,
it was 4, 5, and 6. He had 4, 5, and 6 on DVD, and I went to his we lived on the same floor, right? Yeah,
third floor Cromwell,
yeah. And I went, I was like, hey man, I was like,
you can't even remember what floor we live on. This is a credible story. I think if I remember more details,
I was gonna say the floor, but you beat me to it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey man, you know, you mind if I buy your Star Wars movies? He's like, here, Tubby, just take him and get out of my room.
That's exactly
And that's how it started. And I was like, oh, sorry, dude, I just kind of want to watch Star Wars. He's like, yeah, fine, just don't talk to me.
Uh-huh.
And then, but before that, I mean, it was actually his now wife. When I was first, it was in the first week or so of
then
college.
Then I asked you, like, to help me with, like, my criminology test or something like that, and you told me I should have just fucking read more or something like that.
No. I was like, dude, anytime you want help, uh-huh, I'm here to help you.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, okay, Tubby, you know, maybe, yeah. I mean, that's how it went. I mean, I mean, that's just the truth.
Well, perspective.
No, I'm just telling it. I wouldn't lie here. I wouldn't talk tall tales here. And so the backstory here is that his now wife, she was actually my first friend I ever met. I guess you could say my first friend at school. And back at that time, I was a smoker. She was a smoker. And I was walking back to the dorms with a friend that I knew from high school. And she was like, oh, hey, this is Laura. She lives on my floor. She smoked. And I was like, oh, hey. And then I realized that she had a twisted sense of humor like I do. And then that's how the group formed. We had we started another friend that was in the group was my next door neighbor who's no longer part of the group. He's done his own thing. That's maybe we'll get into that.
But realistically, you two were the ones that like,
we started
this whole thing that blossomed out.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it was based upon your guys' relationship.
It was us, and that's how it started. And then sophomore year, you guys started dating,
mm-hmm.
and then. It took, I mean, you guys dated, how long were you guys dating?
Oh, shit, I mean.
You guys at least 8 years?
Before we got married?
Yeah.
Probably about 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, they named me the godfather of the first child. I mean, no, I mean.
Well, I think I promised you that, though, beforehand, because you meant that much to me as a friend, though.
Yeah, and so that happened. And so, your first child is now, she's what? Seven,
6 years old.
Oh,
come on, now you're the godfather. You
know, I mean, come on.
I mean, talk about his credibility here with like, the whole Star Wars story. He can't even remember how old his goddaughter's age is. Oh, goodness.
And so she's 6 years old.
That's been a time, though, man. Holy shit.
It has.
Oh, man.
And I remember I don't remember the time you asked me to be her godfather, but we won't.
Wow, there's been many. I was just recently telling the story about you the other day, where there was so many times that we'd go out to like random kegger parties, like but we there was times that we would go out as a whole group, and we went out as a whole group. I remember it was like it was you, Poop Turd, Reedford, Tanner. I don't know if he was dating Heather at the time, but then there was I don't even know if Laura was there, but it was like all of us at one point in time. We go to this party, this house party, and so we're all drinking. And we end up in this kitchen. It was a dark lit kitchen. We're all sitting like on like the countertops and everything.
And
else
this
like
was
that.
Like, yeah, I remember this. Not to cut you off. This was like a maybe like a two story house. Like
yeah,
a
white
house.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is packed ass to ass with people. Probably at least 200 people.
Well, maybe more. Yeah,
at
I
least.
Mean, maybe more. Yeah.
And continue.
So, I mean, I was like. Plastered drunk. I mean, I was hammered. And I'm sitting on this countertop, just like drinking beer, talking mid conversation. And all of a sudden, like Poop Turd, which is our friend. I don't know if there's a backstory to this guy or not. Maybe there will be later. But so he's our friend. He's dating this girl named Noelle. And all of a sudden, I hear her just scream, and I just see all of a sudden Poop Turd is like freaking out. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I'm in no mood for this shit to be going down at this point in time. And then all of a sudden I look over and just all hell breaks loose. And then come to find out it's what happened is it's a football player for the Indiana State football team, the college that we go to. And our entire group now is in a brawl against the entire football team. And then somehow I end up making it out to the front yard. And all I see is Hootie, Chris, out in the front yard, squared off against this big fucking Samoan guy. The biggest motherfucker I've ever seen there is just this Hootie there. And then all of a sudden, somehow, some way, we peacefully transition away from this house to where nothing ends up going down. And my opinion is I think he was scared of you because he knew what the fuck was going to happen to him. But it was the wildest thing that I had seen in a long time, man. It was crazy.
I remember that. Do
you remember squaring off against the Samoan dude, like in the middle of this, like front? Yeah, it's like it was like It was the weirdest thing. Like, everyone comes out of the house, and, like, you guys are the forefront. Like, it's like when, like, everything, like the awkward silence in a movie, and everyone's staring at one thing. Like, everyone's staring at this one thing, and it's just you and this Simone in the front yard.
I thought we got fucking...
I don't know what would have happened, but I just, like, for some reason, it just, like, all I remember is just that we part away, and, like, nothing happens after that.
I remember in the house, because, yeah, one of the guys touched her butt.
Right.
And... pooped her, threw a fit, and then one of the guys that touched her butt, who was with the guys, had like a chair. He was about to throw a freaking chair at like a...
Yeah, I don't remember any of that.
A chair at somebody. Yeah, then all of a sudden that happened. All of a sudden I'm out in the front yard. Like, I just teleported. I don't know. I don't remember anything.
Well, like, I know, like, shit went down in the kitchen. I just was too drunk to fucking care at that point in time what was going on, so... But that was, yeah, that I was telling that story the other day. That was a trip, man. That was amazing.
Son, if you're ever listening to this, just don't be like your father.
or be exactly like your father, because that's a total badass story. How do you square off against an entire football team and come out unscathed?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Wow.
But...
And then I was... There was basically two stories that we had with the entire football team, though. Like, I remember you came up for, you and Kyle came up to homecoming for Northern Illinois that one time.
Yeah, that was a blast.
So then, like, as Indiana, like, and this is our home fucking, like, this is our own college, and they get their ass rocked by Northern Illinois, and as they're fucking leaving in their bus, we're just sitting there mooning them the entire time as we're leaving.
And that's when... I was hoping I could get Eddie on here, but Eddie's not here. Because was there, too.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
And he... somehow we got to get Eddie on a future...
But that was the quintessential night when, like, I got... Like, I fucked up bad twice in my life, where, like, I passed out with my shoes on twice in one night, where you guys permanently markered me twice.
Yeah, two nights in a row. Like, you know the college rule... If you pass out with your shoes on, it's fair game. I don't know who came up with this rule, but Kyle did. And then, so the second night, he was really pissed about it. And that was that night I kept playing, like, you taught me, like, one string on a guitar. And I was just sitting on your... And everybody's like, fucking stop. And I just kept playing that one string.
Oh, shit. Oh. I just remember the picture, like, afterwards. I don't know if you guys could share this. I don't know, podcast, you can't share pictures. Maybe you can post it on something. But it's just, like, the table the next day is just full with beer. We're not talking, like a small table. We're talking, like, your grandma's fucking kitchen table that she put, like, all six leaves in for the nice dinner kitchen table. Just packed full of beer bottles.
Ah. I mean, I look back and working the job I do now, I was like, I don't know how I never got a ticket or arrested or whatever. Like,
well, you just, like, I mean, that just comes into play as far as being responsible and the things that you were doing. We were crazy, but we weren't like off the chain, like how some people can be now.
And one thing we're going to talk about here later is maybe one of those, we're just going to randomly talk about one of the most cringe moments in your life. You just got to think about that, Kyle. It doesn't have to be in college. Just maybe one thing that's maybe cringy but funny that you can tell a story. Because I have one, and I won't tell it at the end of the story. I haven't really told anybody this story, but it's so cringeworthy that it's funny. It's not, but it is. Because mm-hmm. It's bad, but it's funny. We're going to get to that later. We're going to tease that for later on.
Oh,
here.
Shit, I want to know about her now.
Oh, yeah, you're gonna hear it. We'll
I don't know how I can make it through the rest of this, like, not, you know, hearing the story.
We got to keep the listeners.
He's doing you guys a disservice by not telling you right now.
We got to keep the listeners captivated for the next few minutes.
Well, I'm captivated now, shit.
But should we just go ahead and tell it?
Well, I mean, I say yes, but at the same point in time, you got to set a mood, I guess.
Okay,
so.
Let's talk. Okay, we'll tell it. Okay.
Well, in the meantime, I got to get another drink. I'm empty.
Then go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and pee. Podcasters are going to listen to me while I pee.
That's fine. I mean, they're going to get a show to a certain extent.
Yeah. You get a beer. I'm going to go ahead and pee.
You
want a
drink?
I got a beer over there.
Okay.
So, yeah, here I am just peeing. No big deal. Kyle's getting a beer. I mean, when you drink a lot of beer, you got to pee. So, everybody knows how that goes.
I can't believe you're going to air that, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is the real podcast experience here, right? I mean, no pausing, no bathroom breaks.
Well, so, I mean, this ain't no Joe Rogan. Yeah. Spotify, you ain't Joe Rogan, right?
I mean, we're not. I mean, we got one sponsor. We got Grassy Knolls Munitions,
yeah.
Right? I also hear that we have the one possible sponsor, the Gacy Clown Club. They may sponsor our podcast. We'll be lucky to have them. But I don't want to say too much until they sign the dotted line there. You know, you guys will be chained to a pipe in your basement waiting to hear that.
They'd really dig it.
Okay. So, this situation every now and then just still haunts me. And I just try and laugh.
You're going right into the story?
I'm going right in.
All right, well, shit.
Because I don't know if anybody knows this. I have not told anybody this story.
I mean, you can't get more groundbreaking as far as, like, a lead up to, like, Chris Pissin right there, you know? I mean,
I almost stepped in my pee almost went into my own crock here.
Oh,
and so,
God.
I mean, okay, so. After college, I worked security and surveillance in the casino.
Oh, you're going into this shit, huh?
This is just a backstory.
Okay.
I worked there for almost 2 years, okay? And so, during that time, I had a really fun group of friends. Just, like, still, like, memorably, like, we would go out maybe once a week or so, once every other week. And we all just drink and have fun. We all worked third shift. And so, on paydays, we would go out in the morning that Friday to a bar and get breakfast and drinks and everything. And then maybe every week or ever so, we'd go out that night, like another night, like usually Monday or Tuesdays, this ball we called, it was Hollywood Bar and Grill. And we'd go out and they had karaoke and stuff. And we'd all just get tanked. And so, but backstory, my mom's brother was married to a lady. And she had cancer, okay? And she did not fare well with cancer. And he was staying at our house towards the end of her life. And so...
I never fucking heard any of this.
Oh, I know. Just wait. And so, one night, I got really, really drunk... with my people. That was like a Monday or Tuesday night, and we had picked up some Taco Bell, and someone dropped me off at home, and I was sitting at our dinner table.
How the fuck did I not hear you this?
And I'm eating the Taco Bell, and my parents come home with my uncle and my aunt had just passed away from cancer, and they brought him in. He was walking up the stairs, and I was like, you know, hey John, sorry, sorry, you know, about your wife. I was like, do you want any Taco Bell?
How do you pair that shit together? I would pay just to see the reaction on his face, to see how he looked up at you. That had been a priceless reaction, because at a point it's like, I'm sad as fuck because my wife just passed away, but like, how do you turn down an offer for Taco Bell?
Dude,
especially, oh my God.
It was the most cringeworthy thing I've ever done in my life. I was like,
but you're not in the wrong at a certain point in time. It's like, I want fucking Taco. What is it, like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning? Like, yeah, I'll take some fucking Taco Bell.
He's literally just like trying to crawl up the stairs.
What did he say to you?
Like, he's just like, No.
He turned you down?
Dude, like, I was so drunk. I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, you know, dude, I'm so sorry. Do you want some taco? Right. It was so fucking awkward.
I'm going to replace your dead wife with a fucking bean burrito right now.
It was so awkward. And it was so uncomfortable. And
So what did he do then?
He just went upstairs and went to bed. And it was just the most awkward experience. Like, I've been in awkward situations.
I bet you probably would have only felt worse if he just, like, had shot himself, like, afterwards. After that, you know? Oh,
shit.
You know? I mean,
It was so, like, I still think about it, too. So I was like, oh, my God, you, what the fuck? Like, this guy's wife just passed away. Like, hey, do you want some Taco Bell?
I mean, I could see, like, you're
I was just I wasn't in my right mind. Like,
I get it. Like, you're in that drunk stage of, like, I love you, man, but, like, at a certain point, like, how do you, like, I mean, do you say, like, fuck him for denying your bid for Taco Bell?
At that point, you can. I mean, he's upset, and he may have ate at the hospital. I mean,
well, hospital food is not good, though, man.
I know, but, I mean, he may have been on a low-sodium diet. I mean, I don't know. He may have been eating healthy. He didn't want Taco Bell at the time. He didn't really feel like it was needed.
Maybe, but, was he there when you got your order?
No. I mean, like, I was home. I was dropped off. I was eating at the dinner table.
I know your order, though. You're a nachos bel grande kind of guy. Oh. So how do you turn out some nachos bel fucking grande, man?
Dude, like, I mean, is that not, like, the best drunk food? Like, okay.
Oh, it is. I'll eat some nachos bel grande right now.
Let's have that conversation. We're going to transition this really awkward part of my life that I still feel,
dude,
like.
Do you still feel bad about it?
I think about it, I'm just like, oh my God.
Why are you so bad?
The only thing that's more awkward was when my one aunt, when I was like in middle school or high school, like, it's Christmas time, and I get this, you know, it's a CD, you know, like, she gives me this gift for Christmas. Like,
I don't know, what's a CD?
Oh, fuck off. CD's nuts. And so I'm like, oh yeah, it's gonna be like a good CD, whatever, when it was popular at the time. It was a single of Mariah Carey and Backstreet Boys that she bought me when I was...
That's fucking right up your alley, man.
Oh no, bull, who, what the fuck, a Mariah Carey and Boys to Men single CD for Christmas? And
you're more an Aaron Neville kind of guy.
I mean, yeah, I mean, if we want to talk about Aaron Neville, anybody wants to dispute Aaron Neville, we'll have a problem. But a fucking Mariah Carey Backstreet Boy, I was like, okay, thanks. That was awkward.
That was, you know what that is? That's a quintessential, like, re-gift situation. She got that gift from someone.
You can't re-gift that. You can't even give that. Goodwill be like, nah, we're good.
Well, she's like, hey, listen, I got my fucking nephew here. I'm gonna just, like, you know what? Someone gave me this piece of shit. I'm gonna give it to him.
I see why your husband left you. You stuck up bitch.
Right?
And so, yeah, that was the most... That still, to me, I think about it a lot. Just, I'm like, oh my God, like, and you can't ever bring it back up to him. Like, I'm like, hey, John, remember that one time when your wife passed away and over to Taco Bell? That was funny, right? You can't do that.
Well, I mean, I guess you could look at it like you're doing a good faith gesture to him. Like, you're like, hey, man, I know you're down the dumps and you're probably fucked up. You're like, hey, listen, man, I got some Taco Bell. The best I can do for you right now is Taco Bell. I can't do a Lazarus situation right now. I can't bring her fucking back to life. But, hey, man.
Think outside the bun, bro. Right?
Exactly. This Taco Bell make you feel alive right now.
Oh, God. Damn it. Well, shit. So I think we're going to wrap up the podcast here. I mean, I don't know. You got anything else you want to talk about? I mean, is there any awkward situations you want to talk about?
Oh, man, I have awkward situations. I don't know.
I mean, were you in there freshman year? You may not have been that part when that my other guy that lived next to me, Hawkeye. You remember Hawkeye? little short guy.
I do remember him, yeah.
And then Ray that lived with Tubby.
I remember Ray, yeah.
And we would always, we would have Tubby unlock the door and we'd fill up water balloons with shaving cream and throw them at him.
I don't remember that.
Would you agree that
he's
Ray.
Probably got you on a list, you know, like Happy Gilmore when, like, you're on that motherfucker's
he
list.
He may have me, like, in his sights right now in some night vision. Right. Like, would you kind of agree that Ray is kind of like the most. The closest living thing to like a Dwight Schrute that you could.
Oh my god, yeah, without a doubt. Like, if you could track that guy down and get him on your podcast, like that would be such an interesting.
I mean, he was always the guy that I do this and I can do that.
And like he was like going to school to like be like what like a forensic psychologist or something like that, or like the guy was like all he would do was just walk around the dorm. Like he just would do laps around it all day long. That's all he would do. Like, it was insane.
Speaking of, we'll end on this one. Do you know the story of how I scared the shit out of your wife freshman year?
Oh, when you were like up hiding up in her room and everything like
that?
Yeah.
So, we were, I don't know what we were doing on the floor. Like, we were all running around or whatever. I was like, somebody. Grab her keys when she's not looking and give them to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was Tanner grabbed the keys and I went up to we lived on the third floor, she lived on the ninth. Mm-hmm. And she lived by herself at the time, I think. And so she had her computer on the bed and I positioned it towards the door. Mm-hmm. And I wrote "I can see you" and I had a scream mask. I put that on and I can't remember who was like, "Hey, you need to go up to your room and get a beer bong or something like that." And they kept pushing it and pushing it. And so she finally came up and she walks in the room and I was hiding in the closet. She was like, "What the fuck?" And she keeps walking in. I'm like, "Why you keep walking in?" And she keeps walking in the room and I just jump out and she just jumps up. And all these women come running like, "What's going on?"
Yeah, but what did you put on the computer though?
I put on the computer. It's like I'm watching you or something like that.
Right.
And that's when it was facing the door right when she walked in. She walks in and she reads. She goes, "What the fuck?" And she keeps walking in the room. I was like, "Laura,
at that point in her life, she was like such an impressionable person to where like she was so gullible and everything like that. Like, I remember, like, there was you were probably there. Remember, like, the RA that we had, Dave?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Pedo.
Right. That was, like, he always tells me the story.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God. So, like, you guys had this end-of-the-year party or whatever. Like you guys were the only ones there.
In his room.
And, so you're all drinking and stuff, and you're doing like was it like truth or dare or some shit
basically,
like that,
right.
Or like I don't know.
What is that? That's not truth or dare, but it's like, no, it's like what is that drink? No, it's like a drink. Like it may have been. It's not truth or dare, but like a lie. I don't know. But
yeah, that drinking game where he's like one truth or one.
Yeah,
I don't know,
a truth or lie. Yeah, basically.
Your podcasters can find it out. I don't know. We'll Google it later and put it in there. But anyways, so like we're going around questions like, "Have you ever?" Oh, "Have I ever?" Or whatever it is. Like, or would there? So, anyways, he's a creep.
Yeah.
And there's only one girl in the room, which is my wife was in there. And it's you. Who else is in there? You,
it's
Dave,
me,
Laura, Hawkeye.
Kyle.
Was in?
I don't know if Hawkeye was. I can't remember who else was in there.
Like two or three other people.
That may have been the night we took that photo on top of the
roof.
Yeah,
it was.
So it was
Tanner would have been there.
Yeah.
So he asks this. So you would go around and you ask questions, like random questions. You have to drink with it or do whatever else it is. And like he asks this random question: "Would anyone here want to sleep with me?" And then Laura's just like, "What the fuck?" She just like looks around and it's just all guys. She's the only girl here. She's like, "What the fuck?"
And she goes, "No."
What do you say to that shit?
It was
like, it's like, I guess it's time to leave now because like, what, like, holy, what are you going to put in my drink after this, motherfucker? Like,
the awkwardness of the no, and then his response, like, after that, and like, the send off to the next question as we go around. It was hysterical.
Just to see the defeat in his face probably would have been like, "Oh my god."
Yeah. Oh my God. I'll never forget that. Yeah. Anybody here want to sleep with me? And we're just there's four guys and one girl. And he's like, no.
Well, hold on. I want you to get some slack from your podcasters because I don't. We listen. Maybe he meant like maybe he was looking at you, Chris. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean. Speaking of.
Speaking very of, presumptuous I mean, on our part.
Speaking of Cosby, he's innocent, right? I mean, he's been released. Not innocent.
I'm not going to go out drinking with
him. Yeah. Watch your martinis, folks.
Right.
And that's going to be the end of the podcast tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed. It's been a while since we've done it. And hope to look to more episodes here in the near future. You guys have a great night.